by. I just wanted to say, wasn't it a blessing on Sunday, Bishop Silas Johnson? I want to encourage everybody to go back and listen to that message again. If you haven't listened to both messages, Friday night for the men, and I would encourage, I've already had ladies say that they listened to Friday night, how powerful it was. Both were wonderful, and God had a word in season, not just for individuals, but for us as a church. And so I want to encourage you to go back and listen to that. And we thank God for supernatural relationships like that. You know, we don't have people in because I get tired of preaching. We have people in because it's God's plan that for the equipping of the saints, and we need all fivefold ministry gifts. Praise God. And so those fivefold ministry gifts, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher are needed for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Amen. And he sure did that. Well, tonight we want to continue our prayer series, If My People. But what we're going to do tonight is go in a little different direction. And over the next few weeks, I'm going to be sharing some important things that we need to know and understand. Everybody say know and understand. See, because a lot of times we can know about something, but really not understand it. And we're going to be sharing some important things we need to know and understand about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so tonight's message for those that are, those that are taking notes, it's going to be entitled, The Father's Gift. The Father's Gift. And of course, the Father's gift that we're talking about is the Holy Spirit. And in particular, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And the good news is tonight, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, which possibly most of everyone in here is, this is a Spirit-filled church, so you don't just hear about the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the Spirit-filled life or walk once in a while. It's a continual thing that we should talk about and offer, just like the world should receive Christ in salvation, the believer should receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Father, the Holy Spirit. So with that being said, even though that we talk about it often, because it is a large subject, it does us well to actually do some messages or short series on this very topic. And so I'm going to invite you tonight, as we begin, to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Another reason why this is so important for us is because even though we may be filled, I can assure you there's going to be things that we talk about over the next few weeks as we do this that you did not know, or that you were unclear or uncertain on about this. And as we grow and as we are discipled, how many know it's part of God's plan that we become disciplers? And, you know, there's always going to be people. If you've got questions, it's all right to have questions. But the Bible's got answers, and the good news is that God wants you to be up on it so that when people ask you questions about this, you're not confused. You don't back off. There's a lot of people that are confused about the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. We're going to clear some of those things up. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, it begins by Paul saying, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." If you are reading from a King James Version Bible, or you will see this word gifts there is italics. That means that the word gifts was added by the original translators. Sometimes it's for our benefit. They believe it was for our benefit. Sometimes it's for our detriment. I don't believe they interpreted it that way to be for our detriment. However, it doesn't always bring out a clear meaning. However, in this case where it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Notice whatever spiritual gifts are, God doesn't want us to be ignorant about them. Actually, it says in the Greek, it says spirituals. And actually, it means things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit. So God doesn't want us to be ignorant concerning things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit, which would include the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. Amen. Yet the fact remains that misunderstandings abound when it comes to this subject, not only among those who don't speak with other tongues, but also among those who do. And for those two reasons, is the reason for this topic and these messages. And you really can't talk about effective prayer in the Spirit-filled walk without talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. Amen. So remember, even though we're going a little different vein here, it has everything to do with our prayer series, because when a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, the initial evidence is he will speak in other tongues. And as you'll find, in its simplest form, not in its only form, but it's in its simplest form, it is a heavenly prayer language that enables you to pray more effectively in your prayer life before to God. And so this is very important. So the baptism in the Holy Spirit is not just a subject to be cast lightly aside or treated as unimportant in the body of Christ, nor should it be felt that way for those that have already received it. It should be no less important to us than the believer understanding their salvation. Come on. And so God does not fill his book with things of moderate importance, nor does he make unnecessary statements. And as you're about to find, he has much to say about this matter, the matter of the baptism and the Holy Spirit in his word. You know, what I'm about to say may not be true, and I trust it isn't true about most of you, but unfortunately, too many believers never allow the Bible to affect what they believe anyway. Therefore, their experience with God is shallow, and their faith is weak, and they never really receive much from God. That doesn't have to be. And the good news is, even if you would be one of those, these messages can change that. And so in the context of this prayer series, If My People, amen, and because I believe that time is short, God needs more people of prayer to get the job done on the earth. And I believe that he is desiring and bidding all of us to be one of them. I believe our understanding of the baptism of the Holy Spirit will fuel the fire for God and prayer in our lives, just as it did in the early church. It is impossible to read the book of Acts from its inception, from chapter 1 on, and not see the evidence of what the Spirit-filled walk, what the outpouring of the Holy Spirit did, and what tongues of fire did in the early church and continues supposed to be today. For the baptism of the Holy Spirit was and still is God's means to empower the church to continue the ministry, the present day ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in the earth today. So no matter what subject we're endeavoring to cover or to study or to learn about, we need to examine it in the light of the Word of God. And that's exactly what we're about to do. So I invite you tonight to turn with me to Luke chapter 11, if you would please. And we're going to actually read a portion of this. We're going to read it all from the Amplified Translation. And we're going to talk about this a little bit. It says, "So I say unto you, ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you shall find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door shall be opened unto you." Verse 10 says, "For everyone that asks and keeps on asking receives. He that seeks and keeps on seeking finds, and him who knocks and keeps on knocking, the door shall be open." Let me stop and explain this. This is not my subject, but because this says this. Many times, you know, I used to read this and say, why does it say ask and keep on asking? Because the prayer of faith, per se, in the prayer of faith, you would ask once, believe you receive when you pray, believe you've got it, and you wouldn't have to pray anymore about that. You may talk to God about that in prayer, but you wouldn't ask again. But what this is actually teaching us, that the daily walk with God is going to require us to pray daily, asking and receiving daily what we pray about, and then go into the next day, and there'll be other things new that we ask and pray for again. So that's the context of asking, keep on asking. It isn't a contradiction of the prayer of faith. It just lets us know that prayer is a journey, and life is one too, and every day it's going to have its individual challenges and prayer requests that you actually believe and receive from, and tomorrow will be a whole new one. This is why you ask and keep on asking. In other words, you don't have to, if it's a prayer of faith, you pray once, believe you receive. You could talk to God about that tomorrow, but you're thanking Him that you got it. But the things that new come along that you're praying for yourself or for others, this is why it's saying it's this journey in prayer that we do. Enough said there. Verse 11, if we go on and we find this, 11 through 13. This is our topic. What father among you? This is a great question, Jesus said. If his son asked for a loaf of bread, would he give him a stone? If he asked a fish, would he instead of a fish give him a serpent? Verse 12. Or if he ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion? Verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to their advantage to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask and continue to ask for Him, to ask Him. So here, I want us to first and foremost notice that it says that that the Father will give good gifts. How many know that's the only gifts He's got? Come on. James chapter 1 says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Notice here, give good gifts. And it says, I love how the Amplified translation, always go back to this, is a gifts that are to their advantage. In other words, gifts to the children's advantage. So this is why, if we read the first verses, when he asks, if a son asks a father something, a father that loves his son is not going to give him something other than what he asks for. How many know that's good news for us? Because it's talking about asking God the Father for the Holy Spirit. Okay, news flash. It is impossible to ask God the Father of the Holy Spirit and get some other spirit. The reason I'm sharing that is because over the years, I've seen some of the hindrances of people receiving the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. They're afraid I know I'm going to get the Holy Spirit. Here's how you know you're going to get the Holy Spirit when you ask. God the Father said He's not going to give you some other gift. He only has the Holy Spirit to give. Amen. So this is a good point. But notice the major emphasis here is that they're gifts to our advantage. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit is the Father's gift. And He desires to give this gift to every one of His children. And that gift in particular is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit comes to bring this gift, the baptism, us being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Scripture makes it very clear that, listen to what I'm getting ready to say, that while Jesus is God's gift to the world, that the Holy Spirit is the Father's gift to His children. Now let me just make this really clear, once again, because this is important. The Scripture teaches us that Jesus is God's gift to the world. John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It says God so loved the world. Now listen, there's a reason I'm saying this. God's gift to the world is Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit is the Father's gift to His children. And while God is the creator of all, God is not the father of all. He's only the father of those that are born again. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is only the Father's gift to His children. Let me show you in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. Turn that with me. And here's what Jesus said. I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter. That's the Holy Spirit. That He may abide with you forever. Okay? Even the Spirit of truth. Now, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Notice the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. But the world can receive Jesus Christ. So, we see here the difference between the gift of the Son Jesus to the world that God will give the world and the gift the Father gives to His children once they are saved, the Holy Spirit. He says, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because he seeth them not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he will dwell with you and shall be in you. Aren't you glad that he will be? Aren't you glad, even more glad that he is? As we go back and look at Luke chapter 11, verse 13 again, notice the Father's gift to every one of His children is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or you could say it's called being filled with the Spirit. Notice Jesus calls it a gift to our advantage. Now, this is not a trick question. After everything I've just said, this is really important for us to understand, even though it's very simple. Who can receive this gift? His children. Only His children. Amen. And so it's important for, or let me say it like this, any of God's children. And that's so important because so many times I see believers who obviously are saved and they hear about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and they feel like for some reason they don't qualify. There's only two prerequisites to being filled with the Holy Spirit. Number one, being a child of God, being born again. And then number two, having a desire to be filled. God meets the hungry needs of people. The hungry hearts, I can tell you, in this desire, it has to do, because it's so important, because our faith reaches out, the hand of faith reaches out what it believes God has given and what it's desirous of. If we have no desire for it, it's either because we don't know about it, understand it, or our wood is wet. What do you mean your wood is wet? It means that you're a believer, but you're like, well, you're nonchalant about the things of God. No, we should have a desire for the things that that God says we should have a desire for. Everything that God's Word says, this is not a small subject, as you're about to find out as we look at it over the next few weeks. So being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't make you better than any other believer, but it does make you better off as you're about to learn. So many times I've heard people say, well, you know what? You Spirit-filled people act like you're better than everybody else. So you think you're better. No, I don't think I'm better. I'm better off. I know I'm better off by being Spirit-filled. It is impossible to obey Jesus Christ, to obey God the Father, and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or be filled with the Holy Spirit, and not be better off. Doing it God's way, you're always better off. It doesn't make you better than anybody else. It just makes you better off. Amen. Amen. And so, in beginning our quest and understanding the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there are some things that we should and really must understand. And being born again, or being saved, everyone say being born again. How many are born again in here tonight? That's probably everybody in here tonight. Many of people online can say I'm born again. But being born again and being filled with the Holy Spirit are two separate and distinct biblical experiences. They're two separate, being saved or born again and being baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues is two different biblical experiences. They're distinct biblical experiences. Both are important works of the Holy Spirit, so it would do us well to look at the difference of them. In other words, both are the works of the Holy Spirit, but they're different works of the Holy Spirit. and we need to understand them so that not only can we receive butter, but we can also help others to receive butter. So let's look at these differences. The first work of the Holy Spirit that we're going to talk about is obviously it's in salvation. The work of the Holy Spirit in salvation is to recreate our spirits. So in recreating our spirits, we are made new creations in Christ Jesus, and it gives us eternal life. Amen. So the Holy Spirit's work in the new birth or salvation, He comes and He bears witness with our spirits that we're children of God. And then because He lives in us, He leads us and guides us into all truth. Now, they're not going to put these verses up, but write it down. Romans 8, 14 and 16 tells us this. So important. It's so important. Amen. In salvation, once again, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within or and live within us. That's John. You can write it down. We looked at this before. John 14, 17. It's the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. It's so important. The Bible calls the new birth or the salvation experience. I'm going to write these verses down, but I'm going to put them up for time's sake. The Bible calls salvation this first work of the Holy Spirit. New birth and salvation experience is called receiving Christ. John chapter 1 verse 12 calls it receiving Christ. When you get saved, it's called receiving Christ. It's all called so-called receiving eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. It's also or called receiving the forgiveness of sins, Acts 26, 18. And while every believer, everybody say every believer, while every believer certainly does have the Holy Spirit because they're born again, they can and still should be filled with the Spirit or be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Just because, here's a good way to say it, just because you're born of the Spirit doesn't mean you have all the Holy Spirit there is to have. Some people teach that, well, I got all the Holy Spirit that there is to have. When I got saved, I got the Holy Spirit. True, you did get the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. He dwells in you. I'm not shortchanging this. We just share the work of the Holy Spirit in salvation, recreating us, giving us eternal life. Valuable, important, living in us, the indwelling presence is so important. The Holy Spirit is in us. But you, let me tell you, you did not get all of the Holy Spirit there is to get. Because there is a subsequent experience. This is why Jesus told his disciples in Luke 24, turn there with me, he told his disciples about this in Luke 24, 49. Here's what it says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Now notice here, this is after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus is talking to his disciples. They have already called him Lord, and by calling him Lord, they've met the requirement of being born again. If we read this in context with the other Gospels, we can see clearly here, Jesus is talking to his disciples that are born again. He's talking about another experience. Notice he didn't say, he says, behold, I send the promise of my Father. That's not talking about salvation. This is talking about the Holy Spirit. The promise of the Father is always talking about the Holy Spirit. He said, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say tarry until you be converted or saved. Why? Because this lets us know that being saved and being filled again are two separate experiences. And the second work of the Holy Spirit is to fill the believer, and in filling the believer, it's for power. The power to live the Christian life and to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Amen. Acts chapter 1, turn there with me, we can see this. What is my point in this? For you to understand that just because you're saved and you're born of the Spirit doesn't mean you're filled with the Spirit. as valuable, as important, and it must be first place in our life, the Holy Spirit's indwelling presence in getting us saved and born again to become God, becoming our Father, we becoming His child. That is first and foremost, but it doesn't end there. Neither does the work of the Holy Spirit. And this is what Jesus was majored on with His disciples, about them receiving the promise of the Father, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as on the day of Pentecost, amen, in the upper room where they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues. And in them receiving this, Jesus exhorts them in Acts chapter 1, read with me in verse 4, beginning there, and being assembled together with them, talking about Jesus, He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Let me ask you this. This is not a trick question. Were these disciples saved at this time? Absolutely. Or they're saved at this. They could be born again because we know they've already received Him. They've already called Him Lord. Okay. I'm reiterating that, but it's important for us to understand. Be assembled together. Commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of Me. In other words, He says, whatever the promise of the Father is, which we know is the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I've talked to you guys so much about this. He goes in verse 5, it says, for John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, the Holy Ghost baptism here, He's talking about here, is what they received on the day of Pentecost. Amen. Verse 8 tells us this, but you shall receive power after that. Everybody say power. Amen. This word here, power, is the Greek word dunamis, where we get our English word dynamite from. Yes, it means power. It means that which. It means it means power. It means miracle working. It's actually the context of, in nature, the force of a hurricane or the force of a tornado. It's talking about a disruptive but helpful force in our lives that not only would undo that which Satan's done in and through us to other people's life, but cause us to be endued with power to be able to do the work and the ministry of Jesus continued upon the earth. So you should receive power. This word could also mean that which overcomes resistance. This is why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I remind us tonight that Jesus was no less the Son of God at age 15 than He was at age 30. The difference, He was no less the Son of God. The difference was He never did the first miracle until He was filled with the Holy Spirit. This is so important for us. And it's going to be the same example for us. Even though there's works and ministry of the Holy Spirit that every believer will enjoy, the ministry that God would entrust, any ministry that God would entrust us to, it's necessary for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, for us to walk in the full measure of what God will want us to do. The miracle working power never started to flow through Jesus, the Son of God's life, until He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. The same is going to be true with us. The same is going to be true with us. Why would we not want to be filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit and understand all we could about His ministry in our lives? He says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto Me and to both Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. No wonder He told them, don't leave until you receive this, because it's power. It's His power. So the Holy Spirit in the new birth comes to dwell within us. The Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, fills us and comes upon us. It's the Spirit within and the Spirit upon. We need both. God designed for us to walk in both and to have both. Can I get an amen? Hope you're getting it tonight. Jesus taught us the difference between these two biblical experiences as well. Being born of the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. Let's look at the two examples Jesus taught, or the two that we'll look at tonight, the differences. Number one, in the salvation or being born of the Spirit, Jesus talked about this in John chapter 4, verses 10 through 14. Jesus answered and said to her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, I give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and we have given thee living water." Then verse 11, "And the woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. And whence then hast thou that living water?" Verse 12, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof of himself and his children and cattle?" And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whoever drinketh of this water," in other words, that water in that well he's illustrating, "will thirst again. But whoever will drink of the water that I give him shall never thirst. But that water that I give him," he's talking about the Holy Spirit, "that water that I give him shall be in him, a well of water springing up into everlasting life." So here we see Jesus is talking about salvation or being born of the Spirit. He's talking again about the indwelling, or he lives with the indwelling of the Spirit. He lives within us. Salvation, Jesus is saying here, is likened to a well of water within. Within you and I, springing up into everlasting life. Amen. Thank God for it. How many know there is a well of salvation? He's in your spirit. The Holy Spirit is in your spirit, and it's for our individual benefit. How many know that you being saved, you can affect someone else and you can lead someone else to Christ, but your salvation is just enough for you. They have to have personal faith for their own salvation. Isn't that right? How many know that I've got a well? Everybody don't have a well at the house. Most people around here have wells. My neighbor can't have access to my well. Why? Because my well is just, it was designed to bless me. That doesn't mean I'm trying to be selfish. Jesus is illustrating something for us. The well in us is for our personal need and relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. It's called salvation. Amen. And when we're born of the Spirit, we have this well springing up in us. Thank God for it. Amen. But that's not the only work. Remember, it's two biblical experiences. And then here's what we find in John 7. Jesus speaks of another experience in or about the Holy Spirit. Turn there with me in John chapter 7, verse 37. Jesus said, "The last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink." Now notice, well, just in case you didn't know, Jesus said, I and the Father will send the Holy Spirit. So, and then he says in the last, okay, and he that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly or out of his spirit shall flow now rivers of living water. Now, in case we get it confused, verse 39, "But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive." See, a believer can receive the Holy Spirit. And he just told us it's about the Holy Spirit. "For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Well, once Jesus was glorified, we know that happened through his death, burial, and resurrection, and the Holy Spirit given on the day of Pentecost, that's when we should receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus likened it to rivers of living water. Water is the same, but the water in the well and the water in the river are for two different purposes. Have you got that figured out? Praise God. Rivers here enable God's power to flow out of you and I to bless others. While salvation, it's for us, it changes us, the baptism of the Holy Spirit empowers us to change other people. To touch people just like Jesus did. Amen. Praise God. This is what Jesus talked about repeatedly to his disciples that they were to receive, and he called it the promise of the Father. Being baptized with the Holy Spirit or filled with the Spirit, that means the same thing. You know, being baptized with the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, same means the same thing. Comes after being saved. That's what I'm trying to get us to see. I realize that so many of you say, I get it, Pastor, I get it. But so many people don't. And you need to understand it is a separate experience. Why do you need to understand it? Because if you're going to do what God calls you to do, you're going to need to be able to understand it well enough to explain it to somebody else. Because there's going to be a lot of people that say, I got all the Holy Spirit. Oh, I got all the Holy Spirit I need. And then the majority of the, even many Christians, even though they, Spirit-filled Christians, know that that's not true, they can't explain why that's not true. And God wants us to be able to help people. Not to say, I know something that you don't know. Come on. Not to rub it in and say, you know, but to help people to receive God's highest and His best. Being filled or with the Spirit comes after being saved and is a separate or subsequent experience God the Father desires every one of His children to receive. You know, how would you feel if on Christmas morning, you know, you had a family and you had a couple kids and you planned, you saved for, you worked, took an extra job, you did all this stuff because you knew some things that your kids would want and you wanted to bless them with those gifts. And you did. You thought you were going to be more excited than they were to receive that gift because you knew how much they said they wanted and how fun or how helpful it would be for them. What if on Christmas morning they had that, they come out, and that Christmas morning the alarm clock went off. It was like me when I grew up, it was 4 o'clock. And, you know, because I wanted to come down and, you're all up half the night. That was just me, you know, me and my sister. And, you try to sneak out and your parents go back to bed, you know. What if you would say, well, I know this is going to be the best yet, and the kids were expecting something, but they, 4 o'clock came, they weren't up, 5 o'clock came, you checked in, and they were still, and 6 o'clock come, and you came and said, honey, don't you want to get up? No. Well, 7 o'clock came, you got up and you made them, they came in, and they said, well, what's for breakfast? They didn't even come and look about the. You know what? You were like, you were little rascals, you know. It's like, I bet you little Johnny down the road would like to have what's on there. You know what I'm saying? No. You might not say that, but you might be feeling that right then. You know what I'm saying? Why did you share that, Pastor Chris? Because I can imagine how the Father really feels who sent His Son, and how the Son feels who died on the cross, that He said, me doing this and me going away would be the only way that you and I could have the Holy Spirit. And yet, we just make it just like ho-hum, no big deal, don't really want to hear about it. I've heard that. Pastor talks about that before. I don't really want to hear about that. Oh, I can speak in tongues. I got filled with the Holy Ghost in 1943. I prayed in it 3 times since. I did a little yabba-dabba-doo, and that's enough for me and you. Praise the Lord. Well, how do you think that the Father really feels about that? He's not too happy. Now, He still loves us. This is why I think that it does us well to take a time and talk about some of these things. Because I want us to be inspired to not only receive, every person receive, but I also want to inspire the fire that the Holy Spirit brings. Because the fire that the Holy Spirit brings is a different. See, when you're born of the Spirit, it's different than being filled with the Spirit. There's a different work, a different dimension of the Holy Spirit. Let me just say it like this. It's the same Holy Spirit in salvation it is with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's not twin Holy Ghosts or quadruplet Holy Ghost. Same Spirit, but a different dimension. a greater measure of the Spirit in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And being filled with the Spirit and speaking with other tongues opens you up to a deeper dimension of the same Spirit in your life. It actually is the doorway to the supernatural. The baptism of the Holy Spirit in speaking in other tongues is the doorway to all nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is why it's so important into our life. And upon being filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues, let me say it like this. And upon being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues is always manifested. It is a supernatural evidence of the Holy Spirit's infilling in a believer's life. Now let's look at this in Acts chapter 2 in closing in verses 1 through 4. Here's what it says when the day of Pentecost. Why is this important? Because the day of Pentecost is God's appointment in sending the Holy Spirit. In the baptism of the Holy Spirit and us being filled with the Spirit. Amen. So when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly, you know, here's a little secret. When the Holy Spirit really works best and when there's one accord among believers. Where we're here in the one accord for one purpose, we want the same thing. We're after what God wants, not our own preconceived ideas or things. And see, the reason they were together is because Jesus commanded them to be together. But what's interesting is only 120, and it says he appeared to about 500. And so here's about the average, one-fourth of whatever God is beckoning on people's hearts and lives, about one-fourth answers the call. A good example of this would be, on another note, what about the parable of the sower? Only one out of the four types of ground bore any fruit. It wasn't the problem with the seed. It never is. It's a problem with the soil or the ground. The seed, if it's planted in the good ground, will always produce and bear 30, 60, 100 fold. The problem is, what ground is it being put in? This is why, listen to me, you know what the first ground was? Anybody remember what the first ground was? It was on that hard path, the wayside. You know why it was called that? And it says immediately, it was like, it's like you've seen the hard path. Like say you have a place in your yard that you walk from one place to another and you wore the grass out. You drop the seed there, it says, here's what happens. The devil come, birds came. Jesus explained it. Birds came and ate those seeds. You know how those seeds get eaten? Is when we, Matthew chapter 13 tells us, is when we don't understand the word that's taught, Satan comes immediately and can steal that word. This is why the teaching ministry, and even along these lines here, is so important. Listen, I might not have everybody running tonight. I might not have everybody shouting and dancing and jumping tonight. But what I'm endeavoring to let you know is tonight it's important that Satan not steal what God has for your life, so that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the evidence of it and the fruit of it can be much in our lives. And we're going to talk about the fruit of that and talk about that in the weeks to come. But notice here, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rush of mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as in a fire to set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit filled, they in being filled, the initial evidence is they all spoke with other tongues. Now, let me make this statement tonight. I don't have time to prove it all out, but I can. In the five instances in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, right here, Acts chapter 8, 9, 10, and 19 are the five instances when believers were filled with the Holy Spirit. Three out of the five state that the believers spoke with other tongues. The other two, I can prove that they did. So in all five instances, when believers were filled with the Holy Spirit, the initial evidence is they spoke with other tongues. And this is why when believers are filled, they will speak with other tongues. There may be other supernatural evidences that accompany it, but it will always be accompanied with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And in this sense, that in its simplest form, it is a heavenly prayer language that enables you to pray the perfect will of God. That's just in part. We're going to talk about its purpose, its scope, its purpose, and its uses in times ahead. But tongues is a supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit given when the believer is filled. The Holy Spirit is the giver. The tongues is the gift. The Holy Spirit is the giver of every gift, and tongues is one of them. And remember, Jesus said it was a gift to our advantage. And we're going to talk about how that is to our advantage, what that looks like in the weeks to come. Come on, Brother Ryan, help tonight. So tonight, I hope our understanding has been deepened. I hope our understanding of its importance, regardless of, especially even if we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And then if there are those in here tonight that have never been filled with the Holy Spirit, I would want it to be like Jesus did with his disciples. The invitation should be given because it is God's will. It is as much God's will for the believer to be filled with the Holy Spirit as it is God's will for the world to be saved. And if we don't, we're missing out. And if we have and we don't use the gift, and it's probably because we don't really understand its great scope, its value, and its importance. And this is why we're teach on it in the weeks to come concerning it. Praise God. Now, next week National Day of Prayer? Next week is National Day of Prayer. It's Thursday. Praise God. Amen. I will either continue this next week, for sure the week after. But next week, I will either continue this, or I actually may do a little prelude to our National Day of Prayer on Wednesday night in prayer, and talk about why it's important that we pray for our nation, pray for our leaders. What difference does it make? You better know what makes a difference. Yeah. Amen. And why? And what should we pray? And those things. And we'll see what the Spirit of God leads to do. Either way, it's going to be good and it's going to help us. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, one of its key benefits is using this heavenly prayer language. One of them. There's different aspects of the Holy Spirit. And as I teach upon them, You'll understand them. See, it's tongues. Tongues is plural. Means it's more than one kind. The initial one that every believer should receive and can receive when they're filled is that heavenly prayer language. Where you can call it a head bypass surgery. In other words, the Holy Spirit in you gives you unction in your spirit, and you pray out a language from heaven. Doesn't come from your head, comes from your heart. And in that language, you pray the perfect will of God. It's important. It's valuable. It's. You know, I know a person that a number of years back, a few years back, a good friend of mine had a stroke. They told me, they said, Pastor Chris, it was the funniest thing. So it really wasn't funny. It just proves that the Bible is true. Of course, we know it is. They knew it was true. But they said, you know what? When I had my stroke, I couldn't speak a word in English. He said, I could pray all day long in tongues. I couldn't say one word in English right away. Now today, you never know, he's back 100%. And it was all God. He knows that. But when it happened, he couldn't pray. He said, I couldn't say one word in English. But he said, boy, I could pray in other tongues. Hallelujah. So that shows you it don't come from your head, it comes from your heart. It's so important. that we stay hungry for God, that we want everything that God has for us. And just because we're filled don't mean we can't be refilled. We should pray every day in the Holy Ghost. I want to encourage you. We're going to do two things. I'm going to let you know, if you're saved, you should be praying in tongues and filled with the Holy Spirit. You should be praying in other tongues every day. Now, if you don't understand why you should, then we're going to teach on that. I was going to say, if that bookstore, which we don't have anymore, you know, you used to be able to go in there and get the little book, Why Tongues. For every person that's ever been filled with the Holy Spirit in any of our services, they got that little book. Amen. And it's 10 Bible reasons why you should pray in other tongues. Praise God, very important. Hallelujah. But what if tonight, heads bowed, eyes are closed, Christians praying. What if tonight you're here and you say, Pastor,